traveled the world, seen some incredible things, seen some great churches, seen some places that some people would say were in revival, but there's something in our spirit that says we have not yet seen the full measure of what happens when God's glory is revealed and released through his church. And so I have a real heart to see a move of the Spirit. And I've been preaching this for a couple of years, so I might well repeat some stories and things from previous visits, because this thing is really, well, it is consuming me, that we will be the a part of a magnificent, glorious invasion of the Holy Spirit in our nation, in our day. So we pray, Lord, we believe to see the goodness of the Lord, and this is the important part, in the land of the living. Before we go, we want to see it, we want to be part of it. And I have been absolutely surprised, stunned by the report that the Bible Society brought out a few months ago called the Quiet Revival. The Bible Society commissioned YouGov, and YouGov is a secular organization that carries out surveys. They're very well known for their political surveys, you know, saying how the political parties are doing. So they are a very trusted organization, and the Bible Society commissioned them to carry out a survey to see what the situation was in the nation concerning church going. And they carried one out in 2018, that's before COVID, and they carried one out in 2024. And they entitled the response, The Quiet Revival. And I was surprised myself and stunned by the results of that survey. Overall, church attendance has gone up from 6% to 12% in those years. Every age group has grown in that time, and the strongest growth has been between the 18 to 24 year old men. In 2018, 4% were going to church. In 2024, 16% of 18 to 24 year old men were attending church. And every statistic shows growth. The churches are growing. The only church that was showing reduction was the Anglican church because of the chaos they're in. But so many of the other churches were declaring growth and life and increase. One of the most amazing statistics, and this is really important, was that purchases of Bibles had gone up 67% in that period. So outside of church, people are buying Bibles, are reading the Word of God. And this report was overwhelming, because I hadn't realized that was happening. If you'd have asked me, I'd have said, well, we're believing God for a move of the Spirit, and there's a few good signs. But here was like evidence on the ground that there is something happening in the church, in our nation, in terms of growth after decades of decline. And my spirit rose to that. And then I became aware of some extraordinary events that took place. I'm a good friend of the church in Milton Keynes. I was there in 1986 when they opened their first building. There were about 30 people in a building that would seat about 120. And they had real vision to see God work and God move. On Easter Sunday this year, they baptized 60 people on one Sunday morning. Now, I have never heard of 60 people being baptized in a single church in a day. And not only did they baptize 60 people, but for the first time in their history, they broke the 100 mark, the 1,000 mark, for Sunday morning gathering. Isn't that encouraging? 30 people in 1986, 1,000 people in 2025, with 60 new believers not having made decisions, but actually being discipled to the point of baptism. The next week, blow me, I've got another connection. He's not a particularly close friend, but a guy leads a work in Cambridge, East Anglia. He reported that Sunday they had baptized 30 people on one Sunday in the C3 church, in Steve Campbell. 30 people baptized. In June this year, on television, Southern News, there was a report, that's our area where I come from, there was a report that 500 people had gathered on Bournemouth Beach. Five churches had gathered together to baptize 92 people on one Sunday afternoon. These figures are like beyond anything that I've never heard of this in my lifetime. I'm 77. I was carried to church in a carry cot as a baby, and I've never heard of that happening. Just this week. So this week I read on Facebook, one of my mates on Facebook reported that last Sunday in King's Lynn, I mean, can you believe it? In Norfolk even. If God can move in Norfolk, he can move anywhere. If he can move Norfolk people, you know what they're like, you know. Our neighbour next door comes from Norfolk, and he says, I'm from Norfolk. He said, strong in the arm, thick in the head. That's how he describes himself, and I think that's what John said when he was standing there a little bit earlier. Anyway, the King's Lynn Church, they've never baptized more than five people in one meeting. Last Sunday, they baptized 16 people, all under the age of 25. What's happening? I mean, I'm not exaggerating now. We have never had statistics like that. Church in Manchester, that I know very well, baptized 30 people last Sunday. Whew. Pardon? Yeah, and you did four. I mean, this is not tales. This isn't not kind of, these are genuine, real, true stories. And I get the Evangelical Alliance magazine, and called Idea. And I was reading that this week. So this is stuff, this isn't like, you know, stuff that, this is happening now in our country. And a guy who leads the Festival Church in Wales describes what's happening in his church. And he describes how one Sunday a young guy walked in and was kind of wandering at the back, young guy in his 20s, wandering at the back. He went up to him and he said, oh, hi. And he said, I've come to church for the first time in my life. He said, if you'd talked to me 6 weeks ago, I'd have told you I was an atheist and all I wanted to do was make a lot of money so that I could live comfortably and live well. He said, I read something on social media, and he said, it's like I became aware that God is real and God is true. And he said, I'm here today because I want to find God and I want to know him. And he got saved, 2 weeks later, he was baptized. And now, within 6 months, he's leading a house group. This is so significant. He said in his church, they had a lady came in. She had young children. She'd recently come to this country. He doesn't say what her history is, but she'd come from abroad to this country with two young children, and her kids were going to the preschool, whatever. And she came into the church because she realized that the church were running the playgroup. And so she came to the church, and the first meeting she came into, she responded and gave her life to Jesus. And again, 2 weeks later, was baptized. And she came from a non-Christian religious background and came into a relationship with Jesus. And then there's another thing, and when I read this struck me. Some of you here know David Shearman. He led a church in Nottingham for many, many years, and a young guy called Malcolm Baxter, well, he's not young now, he's probably 50, but he was young when I knew him. He used to come to our youth camps with the Nottingham group. And this guy, Malcolm Baxter, is now the leader of this church. And someone wrote a report about what's happening in the East Midlands area. And Malcolm Baxter says, we have seen 63 people come to faith in the last few months. 63 people come to faith in the last few months. This story is being repeated all over. God is moving in people's lives. And some of the stories are extraordinary. We have a lady who was baptized just a few months ago in our church. Her name's Haley. Haley's in her late 30s. Her history is of brokenness, of drug addiction and alcoholism. Her marriage broke up. She has a child. Because of her drunkenness and her alcohol and her drug addiction, they took her child from her. Social services took her child away. She tried to take her own life and ended up in prison. And in prison, nobody talked to her, whatever. She cried out to God and said, God, you know, this is the end. I've lost my kids. I've lost it. And I've tried to take my own life. God, please help me. And she recovered to a measure in the next few weeks, and they led her out of the hospital. And she met a couple from our church who are really good pastoral people. They're not exciting people at all. And they're in their 70s. And they took on this young woman and loved her and cared for her and brought her to church. And within a couple of weeks, she responded to the gospel. And she stood up and gave her testimony as she was baptized. And in a baptism, she said, will you pray for me that I'll get my child back? And 2 weeks later, she went to court and they gave her a child back. Now, I tell you that story because every one of those baptisms is a story of people who are having encounters with Jesus. This isn't, you know, a crusade stuff or whatever. This is people whose lives are being changed. Now, why do I tell you all this? Why do I go on about it? And I haven't finished yet. Because I want us to get hold of the fact that God is doing something. Now, I want to say to you, I don't think we've earned this. I don't think that the British church has sought the face of God and spent weeks and hours in intercession and fasting. This is just a gracious, wonderful outpouring that God is giving us. Not because we deserve it, but because of the mess that the world is in. Because the heart of God is moved by what's happening. And my burden for us is that a silent revival is taking place. We better make sure that we tap into it so that we're part of it. You see, I can tell you all these stories and you can, You can say, oh, that's wonderful, isn't that glorious? And we go about our lives just the same as we always have and do the same things that we've always done, not recognizing that God is giving us a new season, a season of opportunity. Here's my first book. I had to get it in, of course. I wrote this in 2017. In 2015, I had a series of dreams. I had a problem with my eye, and for 3 weeks, I couldn't do anything. And every night I dreamt, and I dreamt of a move of the Spirit. And all those dreams are in the book. And here's one of the dreams. I read it to you because I think it's important for us to know that God has been preparing us and telling us about this. He said, another dream concerned a church I've been involved with on the south coast. I was with the church in their usual Sunday morning gathering when someone suggested that the Lord wanted us to take his presence out onto the street. We concurred, and in the next scene, we were gathered in a circle, worshipping on the pavement in the same way as we do in the church building. There was a very real sense of the presence of the Lord as we sang and praised together. I then noticed 5 or 6 young people break into the circle, moving towards the young people of the church. It was obvious that they knew them and recognized them. And they went up to them and said, "What's going on here?" Because what was happening was making an impression on them. And one of them was a young man, and I looked at him, and he was interestingly dressed. He had a lot of metal on his face, and his clothing and was interesting, and tattoos all over him. And I felt constrained to address him, feeling inspired with a prophetic word. I moved towards him, and I said to him, "God loves you and is interested in your life. He knows all about you and your struggles and circumstances." As I said to this to the young man, his eyes filled with tears. And he said, "How do you know that?" And I told him that God was showing me that, and that God was interested in breaking into his life and revealing himself to this young man. I invited him to commit his life to Jesus, to which he assented enthusiastically. I got one of the young people from the church to speak with him, and then I turned away and had a conversation with the Lord. It went something like this: "Lord, what's going on? I've done this stuff for years, knocking on doors, stopping people on the streets, and I've seen so little in terms of response. Yet this young man opened up so easily and willingly." I felt the Lord say, "It is a new season, and the difference is my presence." It is a new season. I want to declare to you today, for us here in the church, in the UK, it's a new season. It's a new season. That new season I dreamed about is beginning. And people are open to the gospel. The sale of Bibles is going through the roof. One church, Anglican church in Hackney, we had the lady come to our church in to our conference this year, Pioneer Conference. And she said, "We're doing evangelism." She said, we have a table outside the church with Bibles on it. We buy 100 at a time, and they last us a couple of weeks." He said, "And as people pass by, we invite them to take a Bible if they're willing to read it." He said, "That's all we do." He said, "And we have seen dozens of people coming back, many of whom are now part of our church." That's never happened in our lifetime. It's a sign of something. In the same area in Hackney, there's some HTB churches that are linked together. They had a youth prayer gathering from 7 o'clock Friday night till 7 o'clock Saturday morning, and 2,000 young people turned up. And during the night, God broke in, and everything that happened in Asbury happened in East London. I mean, can you believe it? And kids were meeting God and being touched and transformed as they had encounters with the Holy Spirit. It is a new season, and God is working and moving. So I'm convinced we're on the brink of something that God is doing. Now, God is doing that, and we have the opportunity to be part of it. And that connection needs to take place. And I'll give you some scriptures. All right, 5 to 12, and I haven't even got to the scriptures yet. All right, I'm going to move on a lot quicker. Yeah, but I've been around a few years, and I believe that twice in my lifetime, the church in this nation has been on the brink of a serious move of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the 80s, here in this place, we were part of a movement that was taking place in the nation. When we moved here in 1978, there were 37 people in the church. In the mid-80s, this place was packed to the doors. We couldn't get any more people in, and we had to plant a congregation in Grays. Because God was working. God was working, and things were happening. And I could tell you stories now of amazing things, people meeting Jesus. Yeah, young lady called Maria from across the road there, she walked in here, unloved, uncared for, mid-teens, whatever, met Jesus on the Sunday and had an encounter with Jesus. On the Tuesday night, we had a prayer gathering, and she came to it, and she was standing next to me. And we've got our hands lifted, and we're worshipping Jesus, and then we began to speak in other tongues, and I became aware that this young woman was speaking in tongues. So I said to her afterwards, I said, "Oh, when did you get filled with the Spirit?" She said, "Oh, is that what it was?" She said, "I was just joining in and worshipping." She said, "I just felt this thing from within, and I just began to overflow in praise to Jesus because he's touched my life," and she was filled with the Spirit. I mean, that's amazing. Pam Webb, who some of you know, took over the nursery, the preschool from Irene, and a lady came on a Sunday morning whose child was in playgroup, and she gave a testimony a couple of weeks later. She came in and she said she sat there for the first 20 minutes saying, "Oh, these people are nuts," because we were dancing all over the place, waving our hands about, speaking in tongues. And she said, "For 20 minutes, I despised what was going on." And I thought, what on earth is this? You know, I've come to a zoo. And she said, and then suddenly, she said, "I was hit by the presence of God." And she turned to Pam, and she said, "Whatever you've got, I want it." And she led her to Jesus, sitting over in that corner. That's what was happening in the 80s. And it lifted and we lost it. I don't know why exactly. I do think there was a lot of arrogance about. And God resists the proud, it says in 1 Peter 5, but gives grace to the humble. And I think we said, we are the people. Join us because we're the ones who've got it. And I think when God saw that, he withdrew his hand. And we missed it. And then in the 90s, there was this extraordinary explosion of Holy Spirit activity that came out of Toronto, the refreshing. And I don't know how many of you had an encounter with God in the 90s in the refreshing. God met us and touched us. We were on the floor laughing our heads off. God was meeting us, and we were knowing the presence of God, and God was sorting stuff out in our lives, and then it dissipated. Why? Well, I'll tell you what I believe. Instead of realizing God was empowering us for the sake of the world out there, we just came back for more, and we turned it into a self-indulgent seeking of personal blessing instead of understanding that God was anointing us to go and touch the world. And for me, those things are so, so important. And we can't go back to what we were or what we experienced there, because God always does a new thing. And so here in 2025, we've got a new thing happening, because this phenomena of people being open to God in the way they are at the moment is something that has not happened in our nation in my lifetime. And we need to understand the times in which we're living. And so God gave us a word at home, and I might have mentioned this before, but he said to us three things, and we're on the thing now. He said to us, wake up, look up, and rise up. And I'm going to leave my notes, because I'm not going to finish if I go through that. But my heart today is to inspire you with what's happening out there, because I believe God wants to do it in here. Yes. Huh. And he wants to do it with you. And he wants to move powerfully in these days, not next year, but this year. He wants to do a work among you. And you've seen seeds in the beginnings, but we need to embrace and engage with what God is doing. And so we need to wake up. We need to wake up to what's happening all around us. We need to wake up to what's happening in the world in which we live. You do realize the world is in absolute chaos, don't you? You realize that naturally, politically, economically, the world is in an absolute mess. Every week, I mean, this week we had the hurricane in Jamaica that's devastated the nation. I mean, devastated. 400,000 people have lost their homes in that one hurricane. And when I say lost their homes, their roofs are ripped off, and the floods, the rain was so heavy that it's just saturated and ruined everything inside. And then the end of the week, we have this tornado in the Philippines, which has killed even more people than the Jamaican one did. We've still got the ongoing saga of Gaza, and we saw the pictures from the whole place that's been flattened, and that terrible thing that's happening out there. We're constantly hearing about Russia and Ukraine. The news is now catching up with what's happening in the Sudan, where there is the most unbelievable atrocities that make Gaza and Ukraine look like a picnic. Because in Sudan, innocent people are just being taken out on the streets and shot in front of people and brutally beaten up, and women are being raped openly, and there is absolute devastation going on in the Sudan. That's the world in which we live. Politically, goodness me, what next? What next? And everybody's hopes were in the election, and they got this massive whatever, and now there's a massive thing going another way. Because there is absolute chaos and disorder in the political world in which we've been brought up, and it's like it's overtaking us, and it's much bigger than we realize. Says in I've got a verse there, the sons of Issachar, it says of them, they had understanding of the times to know what Israel should do. There is this revelation that we need to understand the days in which we live in, and we are living in extraordinary days. Extraordinary days. And that is not just about the world being in chaos in which we live, but it's about extraordinary things that are happening in the church. So I've shared with you whole heaps of stories of God moving in unprecedented ways in this nation. And you know, we have to be careful how we watch the news, because there's a couple of nations like Iran who get a terrible press, right? And the other place is Afghanistan, gets the most terrible press. And it's all true, and they're terrible places, and there's awful things happening. The Muslim issues that are, and the extremes that are being foisted on the people, and what they're going through is absolutely atrocious. But do you know where the fastest growing churches in the world are today? No, not America. They're Iran and Afghanistan. There is a massive ground root level move of the Spirit, extraordinary numbers of Afghans and Iranians coming to Christ. See, the newspaper headlines in heaven are slightly different to the Daily Mirror. Yeah. Or even the Daily Telegraph, whichever you read. Yeah. Because God is moving, God is working. And we need to be aware of it. You know, this really grips me. In 1917, just as the Russian Revolution was about to take place, Lenin, the leader of the communist grouping, and his cronies were meeting, plotting and planning to overthrow the Tsar and to make Russia a communist country. And we know the effects of that. They took over half the world, actually. And you know, by the end of the Second World War, half the world was under communist control, what we called the Iron Curtain. At the same time as Lenin and his group were meeting, the Russian Orthodox Church were holding their annual conference. And the main topic for discussion was the colour of the vests that the bishop should wear on Easter Sunday, whether it should be blue or purple. The church was so out of touch with the times and what was happening that they missed an opportunity to call on God or to see a move of the Holy Spirit, because they're discussing whether to wear blue or purple vests. God save us from being taken up with incidentals in a day when, because of the chaos and disorder, there is an openness to the gospel, because people are afraid. People are filled with terror. I could pour statistics at you now, and this is one from this week. 800,000 young men and women are unemployed because of mental health issues, or are not working because of mental health issues. 800,000. And they need Jesus. COVID, and then the state of the world, and the hopelessness of the world in which we live has so impacted them that they've got no reason to live or nowhere to go. They need Jesus, and that's the generation that are responding to the gospel more than anyone else. And I believe this move of the Spirit has come into being because God sees the distress of the people. There's a verse in Exodus, move on about, Exodus 2, verse 23 to 25, and it reads about the cry of the people, the Israelites in Egypt, the cry of the people that went up to God. The cry of the people who heard their groaning and remembered his covenant. He saw the bondage of the Israelites and was concerned for them. Now that's the heart of God was moved by the plight of the people. I believe that the heart of God is burdened and broken by what he sees in the hearts of our young people who are broken and distressed. And his heart is moved. Jesus in Matthew 9 expressed that in a very real way. It says he saw the multitude like sheep without shepherd. And it says his heart was moved with compassion. And that word moved, I haven't got time to go into it. It's a very powerful word. So I believe the heart of God has been moved and he is working and moving. There's a parallel with the 20s, the last move of the Spirit, the Pentecostal move of the Spirit in the 20s in the UK was moved by people in distress. It was a move of the Spirit amongst the working classes who were really struggling. There was high unemployment, there was desperate poverty, there was no health care, and the people were distressed. And right across our nation, there were these extraordinary healing crusades, miracles that happened everywhere. And big churches of 1,000 up the road in Barking. A church of 1,000 was established in 6 weeks. In Ilford, the same. And all around the country, particularly in places like Manchester and Nottingham, there were these moves of the Spirit as people were encountering God. But they were a desperate people. And I believe it's because the heart of God was moved. And I believe that's why we're seeing a move of the Spirit. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. But God is giving it to us. So here, I've got to finish. So here, if that is all true, if I'm just getting carried away, then ignore everything I've said. But I want to tell you, every statistic and every story I've told you is absolutely true. I'm not exaggerating any of the stories that I've told you today. They are all as it is. If that is true, then we need to be a part of it. And there's a remarkable verse in Joshua 3, verse 5. As the people of God are about to go in and take the land. That was a revival. They moved in and they took the land and they destroyed the enemies and they took the cities and God gave them victory. And in Joshua 3, verse 5, Joshua said this to the people. He said, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now notice, he doesn't say sanctify yourselves and then the Lord will do. He says the Lord will do wonders among you. You can be a part of it. It is a different thing. It's not God saying if you get yourself totally sanctified, then you'll see wonders. He says I'm going to do it anyway. And you can be a part of it. And here's where we are, friends, in the church. We can hear the stories and rejoice. And we can hear the stories and say, isn't that wonderful? And we can miss it. But God's saying to us, and he's saying to you, Thurrock Christian Fellowship, you can be a part of this. You put everything in place. It's in your hearts. But there needs to come a commitment to be a part of what I'm going to do. So I play the piano badly. If you remember Les Dawson, I'm just slightly better than him, but I'm nowhere near the quality of Sir Andrew Akerman, you know. I got to grade 5 Royal School of Music, which isn't bad. It's pretty good. But anyway, my kids bought me a piano. My kids and my wife bought me a piano, a proper piano, not one of these electric things, proper acoustic piano a few years ago. And I play it for some reason on Saturday and Sunday mornings. And I play my way through the hymn book, the old hymns, the old redemption hymnal, and then I play through all the old Dale songs, and then I pray, you know, and then I pray through the worship songs, and I just go through the book and whatever. And about 6 weeks ago, I sat at the piano and I'm playing through the gospel section. And I play that Billy Graham song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I can feel the anointing of it right now. I played it two or three times, and the presence of God just came upon me. And I sat at the piano with tears running down my face. And I responded to the song and said, Lord, I come. I come. I give myself to be a part of this. Lord, I give myself to serve you in whatever way I can, in order that we might not miss it. I can't afford to miss this one. There might not be another opportunity, but you know, it's like the children of Israel coming to the borders of the promised land and missing it, you know, and having to wander in the wilderness for another 40 years. I haven't got another 40 years. It's now. God, O Lamb of God, I come. And that's my challenge to you this morning. There is a move of the Spirit. At the moment, it's a quiet revival, which is growing in effectiveness. And there's more people here than I've seen for a while, and things are beginning to stir, and you're starting to see things happening, and the coffee shop is bearing fruit, and the food bank will begin to produce. But we have got to positively and actively understand that we're here to share the truth about Jesus and to break out from our fear and our we've had years of feeling oppressed and suppressed, and we might even hit some persecution because the government are not for us and the whole woke agenda is not for us. It's against us and opposing us. And there's a rising attack, religious attack, between Islam and Christianity. And we face those issues. But God is calling us to a commitment to rise up. You see, we can either go down the tubes as we look at all the problems and give up, or we can look up. I better get the look up in. I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord. Now I'm going to finish right there, except for this. When we were singing, we sang that song with oh, 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 oh in it, all right? Well, I've never sung it before. I didn't know it. And I looked up, and my eyes obviously weren't clear, or the writing's not clear. And do you know what I read? Oil, 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 oil. I mean, it was just as clear as... And I looked again. And then I saw, when I looked properly, that it was O, O, O. But every time it came up, I saw oil, 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 oil. And I feel the Lord is saying to you, oil, 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 oil. You know what oil is? It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. I believe there's oil going to come upon you. Oil is going to come upon you, John Freeman. Oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In all the miracles of provision, in all the miracles of the food and the doors that God has opened, oil is going to come upon you. And you're going to be, no one's ever said this about you, you're going to be irresistible. Yeah. Because the presence of God is going to be wow. The oil of the Holy Spirit is going to flow in your life. And you're going to become irresistible. And people are going to come for food, and you're going to go about the business as you do. And then they're going to actually say to you, what is it about you? What's this church thing? Do you know Jesus? And you are going to introduce people to Jesus. Ha! Huh? And you say, oh, I haven't got the words and whatever. You don't need the words, because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to be all that you need, because he's going to give you the words. You're going to become irresistible as the oil flows, as the oil flows, as the oil flows. Yeah. Andy, yeah. Thank God for your mind, your brain, your capacity to see, your organizational abilities, and all that you are. But there is oil that's going to come upon you and make these things function.
Yes.
Whew. Oil is going to come. Ha. Oil is going to come and loosen you up in ways that you never anticipated. There are parts of you that are a bit rusty and they're a bit stiff, and the oil is going to be applied to the joints, and you are going to flow in a way that you have never known. You are going to experience a breaking out of restriction and the sense of being hampered. Irene had a word once about that she felt like she was in a coffin and she was going to break out. And I feel like there's a sense on days and times when you felt like that, but God is going to cause you to break out and come to life in a way that you've never known. And it's going to be the oil of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to get courage to speak in places you never dreamed you would. You're going to speak to people of the things of God, and you're going to lose all fear of holding back. And God is going to release you into a sharing of the gospel that is going to become extraordinarily fruitful.
Amen.
Jesus. Yeah. Jesus, let the oil come on all Julia's abilities and giftings and insights. Thank you for her training. Thank you, Lord, we see in her such abilities and understanding of how people work. God, I pray for oil to come. And Lord, with all the words, yeah, I pray that like you, she will lay hands on people who are sick and they will recover. And Lord, I pray for those with emotional issues, with trauma, God, with fear, with phobias. God, I pray for such an anointing on this woman that she will, like Jesus, with that demoniac who was absolutely filled with demons, you will speak words of freedom. She will speak words of freedom, and they will be sat clothed in their right mind because of an encounter with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, come with oil. With oil. Yeah, oil for healing here in this place today. Yeah, I do believe there are some sick people here who need to receive from the Lord. And if you're sick, will you stand up? Yeah, if you need prayer for healing, Pete's at the back standing up, this lady's standing up, Glenda's standing up, that lady's standing up, right. This lady's standing up, that lady's right. Rest of you, gather around and pray for oil to come, for powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit that will result in healing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come, let's pray and see a release of oil. Oil, 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 the oil of the Holy Spirit coming upon people. If we've got some, we'll, can you go around and anoint everybody?
She said, God said to me that a respected man of God who's not part of the church now needs to anoint the building with oil.
Wow. Okay, we'll do that afterwards. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, come on, let's do it. Let's receive, yeah.